I encourage you this morning to have your Bible open to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we are going to continue our study of the I Am statements of Jesus. Got this started a couple weeks ago with an overview, and last week we looked at the first, chronologically making our way through the Gospel of John. The first one was, I am the bread of life. Today, in John chapter 8, we have Jesus saying that He is the light of the world. John, in John chapter 8, what's happening is Jesus is at the temple. He's in Jerusalem during the Feast of the Tabernacles. And in the Gospel of John, John chapter 7, 8, and 9 are all happening in the same week. We know when Jesus makes this statement, I am the light of the world, in John chapter 8 and at verse 12, that He's actually in the treasury in the temple. Down in verse 20, these words Jesus spoke in the treasury as He taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on Him, for His hour had not yet come. I want us to spend a moment looking at the setting in which Jesus makes this statement. We did that last week with the bread of life. That was Jesus feeding the 5,000. The next day, they're wanting more food. And so that helped us to, I believe, appreciate a little bit better how Jesus was able to use the circumstances in that moment to be the most effective teacher that He could. And that's what's happening here in John chapter 8. If you back up to chapter 7 and verse 2, John chapter 7 and at verse 2 says, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. So Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's in the temple when He makes this statement, but it is during the week of the Feast of Tabernacles. And we're somewhat familiar with this. This was one of the annual feasts. This was the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Ingathering. It took place in late September, early October, around the time of harvest. And so it was a time whenever God wanted His people to come together after harvest. That work is done. It's a time to give thanksgiving unto God. But it was also a time to commemorate how God provided for them in the wilderness. They didn't plant, they didn't sow, they didn't harvest. God provided for them as they were in the wilderness. And so during that week, they were to live in tents, or they were to live in booths that they made. Thus, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tents. Even the people who lived in Jerusalem would not stay in their houses. They would either put up a tent in their courtyard, some of them even on the roof of their house, and they would observe this feast in that way together. Jesus' claim to be the light of the world is a very significant claim, considering the fact that He's in the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles with a practice that was happening during the time in which He lived. There were large lamps in the courtyard of the temple that were lit during this feast. I want to read a portion of an excerpt from a Manners and Customs of Bible Times books. He says, the author says, during the festival, four large candelabra were set up in the court of the women. Their large bowls full of oil and their wicks made of garments the priest had been wearing during the preceding year. Everyone in Jerusalem could see the light, and there was music and dancing beneath with flaming torches. The light symbolized the revelation and truth of the Jewish faith. This was something that came into practice after the Old Testament time. We don't read of it in the Old Testament, but historians, they agree on this fact that this was a part of the observance during the time of Christ. So it was a time in which these large lights were lit each night during this feast. And these lights could be seen all over Jerusalem. The light that would be radiating from the temple was seen all over Jerusalem. People were out on their rooftops, out in their courtyards, they could see the light glowing from the temple. And in that setting, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, that light represented the revelation of God's truth, but it also represented, that is the light that was lit during the observance of the Feast of Tabernacles. It also commemorated God's guidance and God's protection of Israel during their years of wandering in the wilderness. So with this setting, I want us to consider some things that Jesus is to us today as He stood back then in the temple during that week, that feast, and said, "I am the light of the world." What is Jesus saying about Himself? What is it that Jesus does for us, provides for us as the light of the world? Well, number one, He provides deliverance from darkness. Again, the quote, and Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world," twice in this section. It's here in John 8, verse 12, and it's also in John chapter 9 and at verse 5. But in chapter 8 and verse 12, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.'" We know the Bible uses the word "walk" to refer to our daily life. Paul does that in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 5. Walk refers to our manner of life. In this world, we are subject to darkness. Without revelation from God, without Jesus Christ shining forth, we have the darkness of ignorance. We have the darkness of error, the darkness of confusion, and the darkness of sin. Jesus says if one walks in this darkness, they don't know where they are going, and they are going to be overcome with this darkness and stumble. In John chapter 12 and at verse 35, "Then Jesus said to them, 'A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going.'" We're going to stumble and we're going to fall spiritually in this world unless we have the light. What is the source of light that Jesus gives us in John chapter 8? Again, let's stay here in John 8. We'll look at some other verses, but John chapter 8 is where we're going to focus. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" If we abide in our Lord's Word, we are abiding in the light. That is, we know the truth, and the truth will make us free from darkness. Jesus can deliver us from darkness because Jesus delivers to us the light of truth of God's Word. Psalm 119 and verse 130 says, "The entrance of your words gives light." Think about that. You walk into a dark room, you can't see anything. Maybe you've been in there before, you know where things are supposed to be, but if you've got little ones in the house, sometimes things aren't always where you left them, and you can stumble, you can fall, you can hurt yourself until you turn the light on. And as soon as you turn on the light, the darkness is gone and you can see where things are at. You can see what's real. You can see where dangers are and obstacles are, and you can see your way out of that room. Until we see the light that Jesus provides with His Word, we're stumbling in this world. We're stumbling over hindrances. We're stumbling over sin. We're dealing with worry and concern until the light shines. Jesus delivers us from the darkness of this world. Secondly, Jesus, and it's related with this, Jesus gives us guidance. Jesus said that we are His disciples if we abide in His Word. Notice that again in verse 31, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed." You're really My disciples. You're truly My disciples. Well, if you name My name? No. If you live by My teaching, if you abide in My Word, it's the Word of Christ that lights our path. Psalm 119 again, verse 105, "Your Word is a lamp to My feet and a light to My path." Verse 133 later in that great psalm says, "Direct my steps by Your Word." Let's say you're no longer in that dark room. Let's say you're outside and you're walking and it's at night and there aren't lights around. How are you going to see to find your way down the path? You need a lit path. You need a light to show you the way. Jesus does that with His Word. He gives us guidance. And when we find Jesus, we have found the light. When we find Jesus, we have found the truth. We have found the guidance. Turn with me over to Acts 17. Now, we'll come back to John. In Acts 17, Paul is on his second missionary journey and comes to the city of Athens. The city of Athens is given over to idolatry. But he has an opportunity to speak to them because one of the characteristics of that city is they have a fascination with hearing every new thing. Acts chapter 17, verse 21, "For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." They were fascinated with hearing about the latest ideas and the latest philosophies. When you and I have found Jesus, when you and I have found the light of the world, our search is over. Because we have found the truth. We have found the path. We have found the guidance. We don't have to keep searching. The search is over. Perhaps that's something that we would do well to tell our children and our grandchildren, especially if they're blessed to be raised in the Lord's church, so that they would value, cherish, appreciate what they have. They have Jesus. They have the light, the world. Jesus gives us guidance. Something else Jesus, as the light of the world, gives us is a revelation of God. Now, as we're leaving John chapter 8, Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am," and they picked up stones to stone him right there in the temple. It's a feast day. It's very crowded there. So Jesus, because it's not His time to be delivered up, He's able to escape and He leaves the temple. On His way out, chapter 9, verse 1, "Now as Jesus passed by, He saw a man who was blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him.'" Jesus lets them know something's going to happen in this man, with this man, that is going to do what? Reveal the works of God. He's going to reveal the works of God. Then he goes on to say, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." There's a second time he says this about himself. Jesus is going to heal this man who was born blind. An incredible miracle. He says, in doing this, it is going to reveal the work of God. Remember the purpose of miracles primarily? The purpose of miracles is to confirm. To confirm what has been said, to confirm what has been done as being from God. Just what is it that this miracle is confirming or revealing about God? Well, if you back up to the previous chapter, because it's all flowing together, it's all the same event, it's confirming the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. Chapter 8 and verse 12. It's confirming the fact that Jesus was sent by the Father to reveal the truth. Verse 29, "And he who sent me is with me, the Father who has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." It confirms the fact that we can know the truth and the truth will set us free. Verse 32, and it confirms the fact that Jesus is the I am. Down in verse 58, there's a lot that this confirms. A lot of important things. But it also reveals God. It's a revelation of God. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the light of the world in that He allows men to see and to know God the Father. Turn just a few pages to John 14. John chapter 14, the setting here is that Jesus is in the upper room with His apostles. He has just made the I am statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We'll get to that in a few weeks. We're going to dig into that in a few weeks. But notice what immediately follows. Again, they're in the upper room. Jesus is spending these last moments with His apostles. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know Him and have seen Him. Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? What is Jesus doing while He is here on this earth? He's doing so much. We remember a very important thing He does every Lord's Day, gathered around the table. But one other thing Jesus did when He was here in the flesh is He was showing the Father to us. In Colossians chapter 1 and at verse 15, Paul says of Jesus that He is the image of the invisible God. He is God in the flesh, the fullness of deity in bodily form. Now, God is spirit. God is invisible. But Jesus is the image. That word image there is the word from which we get our English word icon. It refers to the impression that is left from a stamp. When we look at Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we are getting the clearest picture of God the Father that we'll ever have until we're introduced to Him face to face. The light of the world reveals things. Jesus is the light of the world. He reveals God to us. He reveals the Father unto us. And so, all the more reason we need to spend time with Jesus. We need to spend time with the light of the world, so that we can know more of the Father. Something else about light. Light attracts things. I know when we grew up, we lived out in the country. There weren't a lot of street lights out there. But we would turn the porch light on if somebody in the house was gone. And the rule was, when you get home, you turn off that porch light and you lock the door. Last person in does that. Because that porch light would attract every flying insect in the county to our front porch. And that's the way it happens everywhere. Light attracts bugs. Light attracts some animals. But light also repels some animals. Jesus, as the light of the world, does the same thing. He is able to draw some. And unfortunately, because of their hearts, Jesus, the very mention of His name, repels some people. Jesus spoke of that in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, this is when Nicodemus comes to Jesus and is speaking with Jesus at night. He doesn't want to come to Him in the middle of the day. He's a Pharisee. He doesn't want to get in trouble with his buddy. So he comes to Jesus at night, and Jesus picks up on that. And Jesus includes that in the discussion He has with him, the teaching He has for him. Look in John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. If one is doing good, if one is searching for God and trying to please God, then the message of the light of the world, that is the teaching of Jesus, is going to appeal to them, it's going to draw them, it's going to attract them. But if they're not interested in doing what is right, if they want to sin, if they'd rather be a child of the night than a child of the day, then even today, the message of our Savior will repel them. And that's a shame. But that doesn't mean we go and we change the message to make it more accommodative to people who would rather do evil. It means we preach the truth and let the Lord work through His Word. As spiritual beings, we have a longing and we have a need for fellowship with God. When we find Jesus, He draws us to the Father. And there we're able to fulfill that great longing that we have. One more thing on this point. I remember when I was little, we would go and we would spend weeks in the summer visiting my grandparents in Oklahoma. We'd spend a week or two with one, then a week or two with the other. And some of you may remember when this happened. I remember the year that my grandparents got the latest, greatest, neatest thing. They got a bug zapper. And in the evening, after we ate and after the news, when it cooled down a little bit outside, we'd go and sit outside in the lawn chairs and we'd talk and turn the bug zapper on, and that was our entertainment at night. We didn't need no internet back then. We just needed a bug zapper. We were entertained for hours. But it would draw them in. It would pull them in. That's what the gospel does. That's what Jesus as the light of the world does. Jesus draws in those who are hungering, who are thirsting, who are weak and heavy laden, those who know they need a Savior. The message of the cross lets them know where that Savior can be found. One other thing that light does, and it's not talked about so much in the context here in John that we've been studying, physical light is necessary to maintain physical life. We know that plants are able to undergo photosynthesis. They take the light rays of the sun, they turn it into energy that then animals come along, consume, and eat, and that allows life to go on. Plants are also a part of the replenishing of oxygen. Sunlight is necessary. Sunlight is essential for life to be maintained. Jesus is essential for our spiritual life to be maintained. Last week we talked about the bread of life. We have to eat or we're going to starve. We can't grow. We don't have energy if we don't have the bread of life. Same thing's true with the light of the world. Without that, we have no life. Jesus is introduced in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is that light, that spiritual life. He is that source of maintaining, sustaining spiritual life. In John chapter 12, we'll look at one more verse. John chapter 12 and at verse 36. John 12, verse 36. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. What a great way in this gospel that looks at light in different places. What a great way to refer to disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, Christians, children of God, that we are children of light. And again, Paul will pick up on that in Galatians chapter 5 and talk about the importance of us walking in the light. Jesus promises more than just a pathway out of this world. Jesus promises to sustain us spiritually as we go through this world. Jesus is the light of the world. This world gives us darkness. But one thing that we do notice about physical light is that when physical light appears, it conquers darkness. You turn on the light, the darkness is gone. Jesus does that. But it's a little different And you see, we always have to be careful that we don't overextend a Bible illustration. We don't overextend a parable. We don't overextend a metaphor here. There's a difference between natural sunlight and the S-O-N, sunlight. Light from the sun shines on everyone, regardless. The light from Jesus will only shine on those who are willing to receive it, willing to accept it. So we need to make sure that we have our eyes open and we have our hearts attuned to the light of this world. So much that Jesus is to us. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that you've given us life. We're thankful that you have created a world in which everything that we need physically is provided. But we're thankful even more for the spiritual blessings that we have through your Son, who is the light of this world. Help us to appreciate better the things that He has for us, that He is to us, that He provides to us. Help us to pursue and enjoy those blessings and to be willing to praise you for them and to share them with others. Help us as we better understand you through your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.